one.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
What's up?
Hi, friend.
February pod.
Yeah, well, I mean, welcome back to Under the Influence, but welcome back, more importantly, to your monthly dose of it, because we realized we only put out one a month.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a fixed rate kind of thing. it just seems to be the way it keeps happening. I don't think the demand is not there either, but...
Yeah, there's a small corner.
It just seems to actively work out that way, where it's just as like we're both busy people, we both have busy lives, and sometimes I truly forget what the podcast is called, and that we have
true.
One.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
So sometimes it's also that, because I think this last time you reminded me, you're like, hey, you want to do a pod? I'm like, oh yeah, we got one of those.
Well, I mean, two things. The last pod that we released was on the day of the insurrection at the Capitol, so it didn't do very well.
The numbers weren't exact like the rest.
Yeah, and the second part of that is that, like, you know, we only need to put out one pod a month, and that's how we sustain ourselves. Like, we are making way too much money already off of one per month. I mean,
if you don't already follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Clubhouse, Twitch.
Clubhouse. What is that?
Friendster, MySpace, and I don't know, but the occasional Facebook post.
I'm only on LinkedIn.
You would know that we are true influencers.
I mean, I'll speak for myself and say yes. Bitches have wanted to get my tattoos done on themselves before. I am an influencer.
Woo! Let's just open a sour beer. It was so sour. I was just like, whoa.
I literally saw it in your eyes. Like, they got so big. That was really scary. I was like, oh shit.
Oh, he's damn, okay. He's having a stroke.
He's so valid.
Oh my god, he's so valid. I'm surprised you could see into my dark, pure, like black hole soul eyes.
Yeah, I mean,
I always think about that, especially I was thinking about like cinematography and the way people are lit. And
people are lit.
It's lit. But the way people's eyes are lit and like how you can just like perceive blue eyes so much more, but you'd have to like really fucking like light up some brown eyes to like really see like the change and the dilation of certain things to see it on film. And then you'd also
need like natural sunlight.
Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you'd have to have a really close lens, like close to that person's face,
like
well, I don't know about that. Okay, that's a little I don't know about a micro lens.
I think that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, look, it's just the shot of an eye. Oh yeah, we're gonna keep it right here. Can we move it back a little bit? No
That's some shit I would do.
Yeah, for what would be the idea behind it?
It's a good cue.
Some like under the skin kind of shit.
No, I think realistically it would probably be like a Pixar short film.
Realistically, let me just Google. Show me this guy's balls.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
That watching Zootopia. Show me this guy's balls.
Google, show me this guy's balls.
The past couple days, I've just been getting into like giggle fits around this time of night. So I'm sure this episode will be a very, very interesting one. Google.
Google, show me this guy's balls. That's what I think whenever I see Pedro Pascal. I'm like, Google, show me this guy's balls.
This man
is working.
This man advocating for change and being fucking hot.
We love to see our hot, inclusive king.
he kind of is, like, he's the best version of a himbo out there.
Yeah, I think so.
But, like, he is, like, next level himbo. Like, he has tapped into the Matrix. Like, he's fully developed himbo. Like, if he started using they, them pronouns, I'd be like, fuck. Like, I'd, like, die. And I could see that happen. But I also just know, I know for a fact that today was, like, the best day of his life. Because that dumb bitch from The Mandalorian is no longer employed through Lucasfilms.
I was just like, I think it's always strange when celebrities are like, there will be no repercussions behind this. I'm like, you are literally a public image, essentially.
You are a Nazi sympathizer.
I like, mean, that too, but like, I mean, but it's like, I think it's just like when you say some wild shit, it's just like, they're censoring me. They can't hold me down. It's like, I don't think you have censorship and like, not, it's like if you got like a face tattoo for like,
it's like if you got damaged face tattoo
tattooed on your forehead and you worked at Walmart. It's like, as like,
and your name is Jared Leto,
and you worked as a Walmart greeter. It's like, maybe they might let you go, not because they don't like you, but because of the fact that you have a damaged tattoo on your head. Because
you're damaged.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that whole shit, I didn't even really see. I've just been busy this week, but I saw like bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, yeah. Mitch got a big boy job, big person job,
big boy job, big boy pen, and the lady pen.
Slowly, my texts between Mitch have become soulless and very sad and very, I hate capitalism. I hate the systems in which we live in. Every day, it's something different.
Yeah.
And then there's TikToks in between.
I think it's just like, especially because I work in healthcare. Not like as a healthcare essential worker, mind you. I work in truly the hellhole that is healthcare plans.
If, for readers at home, they know that I would fucking hope that they know that we Zoom while we do this. And when you said I work in healthcare, I saw your little face go. like that was the first time that you told that to anybody and you felt like powerful, and I was like, ooh, we gotta rein it in, buddy. No power.
Yeah, no, I don't
work... get too cocky now.
I'm not an essential worker or anything. I'm not on the front lines doing anything. In all honesty, I've been sitting in my robe all day taking calls at a call center.
God
essentially
damn. That's but cool.
I mean, it's cool until you get like a call about cancer and their their insurance doesn't cover it.
What was their moon and their rising sign though?
Their moon was Libra. Their rising was it was a Scorpio rising.
Oh, same.
And let's see. Oh, it was a Virgo sun.
No. Their son was Cancer. That's why I asked that question.
Mads. I had a call like that today.
Oh, where they told you their moon and their rising?
It's good. That's good. That's a good joke.
Thank you. Thanks for giving me credit. Anyway. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just so depressing how broken the system really is and how hard it is to actually get help. It's, like, so incredibly difficult for people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it is just mad easy. But most of the time, it's not. Especially if you don't know, like, how to read stuff, which some of these documents, it actively seems like they make it hard to read for, like, no reason.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's one thing I've learned recently is that like healthcare in general is just not accessible, no matter how many times you've done it, how many times you've been through XYZ process, there will always be barriers no matter who you are, and even for those that are from privileged backgrounds, like, there will definitely still be barriers. However, those barriers won't be as weighty as those who come from historically marginalized groups. But, like, yeah, it's fucked. For folks that are looking for, like, a relatively quick and really interesting read, I'd recommend Black Man in a White Coat by Dr. Damon Tweedy. It's a very good book on medical racism throughout the 90s and the noughties and the early 2000s. So, that is my book recommendation of the week.
Oh, wait. You mean of the month. We don't do this weekly.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We spent the first half of the opening talking about that. Before we get into today's topic, which is Whiplash versus The Sound of Metal, which, yeah, you heard me right, folks. Comedy up against comedy.
Musician versus musician.
Miles Teller before Miles Teller. And another alum of Star Wars world, Riz Ahmed in Sound of Metal. But before we get into that, don't give me that face. He's still probably employed. Fuck you, Gina, whatever the fuck. Before we get into that, I'm curious.
Well, he died in that movie.
Well, yeah, but like, hey, listen, I saw Rogue One 3 times in the theaters. That's my favorite, like, thing from the world. But I definitely think that they could
bring him back. I fell asleep in that movie in the theaters. I started snoring.
Yeah, and that's why your life's been so bad since then. I can't help you. You'll give me a Coke Zero.
You will give me a Coke Zero?
But, God, before we get into all that, Mitch, I want to know what TikTok sounds have you been quoting the most recently?
Google, show me this guy's balls.
What else?
The Jersey one, but it's not really a sound. It's just, I can't even really, like, there's a couple other. It's like, let me see if I can, like, pull up TikTok. I don't want it to just, like, blast over, but
Google, show me this guy's man, TikTok is,
I think if I open TikTok, it's going to disconnect because it just got real funky. Correct. On my line.
I was going to say, you were not existing for a hot minute there.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think. I had a few of them saved. There's the I'm fucking rich. My wife's tennis coach is having sex with her. I'm fucking rich.
Oh my God.
Trying to think what else. What about you? Which ones are you quoting?
In addition to both of those,
I always think this is a funny one. Sorry to interrupt. I always think this is a funny one. The Patrick one, I haven't quoted in a while, but when it was like first like going around, what kind of place is this?
That's a good one. Damn. Apart from those, I guess. I don't know really how TikTok found this out, but I've been listening to the podcast Frenemies, which is Trisha Paytas and Ethan Klein from H3H3. And they Trish just says Trish things, right? But there's this one sound from it where she's calling like one of the producers of the show. His name is AB. Like, of course AB doesn't know. He's an idiot. He's just an idiot. Like, he's an absolute idiot. And she's like keeps saying it over and over and over again. And in the clip, like, Ethan is just like, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Because that's just what their relationship is like. But I'm trying to find this Google show me this guy's balls.
Google show me this guy's balls. You could just Google Eric Andre PC.
Oh, you're right.
PC. Google show me this guy's balls.
Google show me this guy's
balls. Sir, you got a tiny piece of poop stuck in your balls.
Wait.
Yeah.
What is this? This is the Jersey Club thing that Mitch was talking about. It's
he's
just
so valid.
He's so valid. Oh shoot, he's swaggy. He low-key fine though. That was important for me to find. Okay, well, I just wanted to check in and make sure that you're enjoying TikTok. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is, you know, this movie is on everybody's lips. Everybody watched it. It got rave reviews. What'd you think of the movie The Little Things? Streaming exclusively on HBO Max.
I thought you were about to say Malcolm and Marie, and that would have been funny too, but...
Oh, damn. Well, we can get into that.
That movie. I mean, The Little Things, I watched that, and I was just like, is something good gonna happen? Because it felt like it was, like, it felt like it was building towards something that was maybe cool. I was like, maybe there's a big payoff. Or it's like, maybe when Jared Leto steps in, it'll get better. And
it got remarkably
worse. It did get remarkably worse. I would agree.
And that's kind of, Jared Leto's crossed a bear.
Yeah, I would agree. He generally doesn't make a movie better. Sometimes he can keep it at the same pace, but generally doesn't make a movie better. And yeah, The Little Things, it's like, God, Denzel, Rami Malek, Jared Leto really read the script and said, John Lee Hancock, let's do it.
I don't know.
Actors have no idea, like, about anything. Like, direct actors, like, have no idea about, like, they could read a script and be like, at least some actors. But, like, that's what it seemed like to me. I'm like, y'all read the script and thought it might be something. It's like a wannabe seven, and it's not even, like, close to, like, a seven.
I feel like it maybe was supposed to be something different than how it ended up. And I don't know if, like, editing has something to do with that, because there's some scenes that are just, like, really jacked up. Like, when Denzel is in the car, like, driving towards the desert where, spoilers, Rami and Jared Leto are. And, he, like, the green screen, like, he's supposed to be touring, and he's just, like, staring forward. It's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty trash. It's definitely, I can't believe Jared Leto got a Golden Globe nomination for it, though. They really out here giving it to anybody.
They were like, he has a history with us. And if we don't do it, he might kill
Google,
us.
Google, what movie did I see this week?
That is kind of what, like, the short list
is,
though.
I mean, it definitely has a lot to do with right availability, now. I think. I mean, it's just super weird because there's a ton of stuff that's not even... the general public at large hasn't seen. So it's like, these award shows are building to, it's almost like so purposeless, because it's like, well, sure, Nomadland and Minari are, like, coming out this next week or whatever. And
what did you just Minari? Say?
Nomadland and Minari? Nomadland and Minari. Is that how you say that?
Okay.
Nomadland and
Minari.
And
What I heard is, like, I heard, like, Lunchbox and then Banana, and I was like, the fuck, Robert Rodriguez?
Should I get a Lunchbox real quick?
Oh my god, they're so valid.
Oh my god, they're so valid.
Oh god.
Let's give them their flowers while they're here.
Yeah, The Little Things.
Yeah, but
that's
pretty trash. That was a pretty trash movie. But it was also the director that did The Blind Side, so I'm like,
yeah.
And then fucking Malcolm and Marie is just...
You've seen it twice. I've seen it zero times. I'm going to keep it that way. So what the fuck's going on with you that made you do that?
I rewatched it in order to just further understand my hatred for it. It's just so bad. It's just like there's so many things that just make it so incredibly like toxic, and absolutely no resolution is found. And I can't tell if the film the film thinks it's woke because of that.
Well, it's Sam Levinson. He thinks everything he does is
woke God.
Yeah, gross. I don't like him.
I'm already talking about that movie more than I'd like to, so we can move on.
Thank God. The only thing I really have to add on that is that Mitch's actions caused Frank, you know, one of our previous and I think only guests at this point, to text me to ask for Mitch's number to bully him. And I was like, wait, what? He was like, why did he watch it twice? And I was like, no, he didn't. And then I texted Mitch and he was like, yeah. And then I immediately texted Frank Mitch's number.
He has my number.
And then said destroy.
He has my number.
And I haven't heard from him since, which, you know, it's the he's gonna love hearing this that he ghosted me this time instead of me ghosting
nice.
Him.
Nice.
He's going to love that.
Well, I didn't get a text from anyone, so proves to you how the true lonely exist.
Only the lonely. Wow. Goddamn. Free Britney. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm all for Free Britney, but I've been on that train for a while. Fuck all the white people being loud during Black History Month about Free Britney. Oh, yeah. I watched the doc. How about we watch the 13th Amendment? How about we watch the 13th? You know what I mean? It's like...
How about we watch, you know, fucking Malcolm X.
Watch Malcolm X!
which you know, a bunch of these white people are like, oh, I will watch Malcolm and Marie. It is Black History Month. It is run... It's all a studio baby. Like, Sam Levinson's whiteness is very pervasive in it from what I'm hearing from you and from other people. And it's very, you know, how you say, not it, Levinson. Shut the fuck up. Go take a pacifier out of some other baby's mouth and shove it up your ass.
Yeah, Levinson, take that. Why don't you just get out of here?
Whatever, bitch. You're the hater. You're the obsessive hater. No,
I
do hate
Levinson, but I don't want to waste my time talking about him on the podcast.
No. We won't. No. Instead, we can, you know, actually get into the content.
Yeah.
If you'd
only like 30 minutes in.
Show me the meaning of being lonely.
So, what would you like to start with? Would you like to start with Whiplash, or would you like to start with The Sound of Metal? Ringo, we're gonna have to eat each other. I'm trapped in the we're trapped in the ice. John's got frostbite on his feet. Paul can't feel his hands. Ringo, you're only hope for warmth. We're gonna have to get naked and come together in the yellow submarine.
Just to make sure that Mitch doesn't get all the credit for that, that's from a
TikTok. Oh yeah, no, that's from a TikTok. I don't think they would be laughing at my joke that hard. Otherwise.
All right. Well, I say we start with Whiplash.
Whiplash! And we ain't talking about Bradley Cooper.
And we ain't talking about, you know, the neck injury, baby.
Mm-mm. We're talking about Damien Chazelle, Harvard graduate.
We're talking about emotional trauma. Yeah, I mean,
which is based on a short by where he filmed him and Johnny Simmons. Johnny Simmons didn't make the cut for the second. No.
which I think, I don't know if it was due to any other reason besides, like, he might have just been busy.
Johnny Simmons busy? Know. Okay.
Well, this came out in 2014. He was kind of doing a lot of stuff. At least I think this, wait, what? I'm looking at the notes for Whiplash. This movie was shot in 19 days. Yeah. Motherfucker. I was just reading about a Hollywood Reporter came out with a really amazing, well, semi-amazing, I'll say insightful, article around Shelley Duvall. And she was like, yeah, like, before I went and filmed The Shining, like, I had just finished something that shot in 6 weeks. And then it took, what, 56 weeks to do The Shining? Or whatever the hell. And I was like, oh, my God. I get it now. Like, I understand. She's, I love her. But, damn, that's gnarly. I'm looking to see if there was a reason why Johnny Simmons wasn't. What if J.K. Simmons was like, I don't want Johnny Simmons in this. We have the same last name. That's going to
be a problem for me.
Oh. Here we go. Are you ready, sis?
I guess so.
Damien Chazelle. Yeah. Was that it? Wanted Miles Teller for the role when he was filming the original short film, but Teller was unavailable, so Johnny Simmons was cast instead. When casting the feature film version, the finalists for the role were Teller and Simmons. Teller was cast because he was a better-known name and an actual drummer. Don't leave young Neil out of this, Damien. Put some respect on young Neil's name.
You punched the color out of her hair. He punched the color out of her hair.
I'm young Neil. He's iconic.
He's great in Jennifer's Body, too.
He is great in Jennifer's Body. I just recently watched Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen with Megan Fox, and I think that's the prequel to Jennifer's Body in some ways. I digress. But Whiplash came out in 2014, like Mitch alluded or said. It was a short film by Damien Chazelle, who is also known for, you know, the reason why we started this podcast, La La Land.
No.
And what else? He did First Man, right?
I didn't see it, though. He also has that show on Netflix with Andre about that jazz club in Paris. That I don't know if it's good. I didn't hear too much about it, so I'm assuming it's not that good.
Yeah, this is only like I think you told me about it, and this is also the second time I've heard about it, and you told me about it again. Why the fuck are you holding a hammer?
I was just playing with it.
Sorry, I'm breaking the pod. Did you say yourself? Oh, I thought you said ow. Ow. But anyway. So Whiplash came out in 2014, starring J.K. Simmons, Miles Teller, Melissa Benoist is in it from Glee
and now
fame.
Superwoman fame. Supergirl.
Yeah, I don't like her.
But really, she... Yeah.
Girl boss.
She is a girl boss, for reasons that maybe you don't know about.
It's true. Maybe she runs a multi-level marketing team.
But, hey, we're not going to get
But yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen Whiplash before, it is about getting a neck injury. For more information, visit mayoclinic.com/whiplash 443-. No, but this movie is about Andrew Neiman, who is an ambitious young jazz drummer in pursuit of rising to the top of his elite music conservatory, which, upon further review, is a fake conservatory. Terrence Fletcher, J.K. Simmons, is an instructor known for his terrifying teaching methods. He discovers Andrew and transfers the aspiring drummer into the top jazz ensemble, forever changing the young man's life. But Andrew's passion to achieve perfection quickly spirals into obsession as his ruthless teacher pushes him to the brink of his ability and his sanity.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah, man. When you first saw this movie... Did you see this in theaters?
Yeah, I think
you
said I did. Yeah. I did see this in theaters. I saw it at the Landmark, actually.
What did you think?
I think I really, really enjoyed it. I saw it with a couple friends who I think wanted to see it, weren't probably as into movies as I was, but I guess I was in college, so it was probably either summer or fall. I was at Normandale, so yeah, I liked it. I thought the last 20 minutes were probably the best parts of the movie, to be honest with you. I mean, I think I liked it a lot more back then. Rewatching it now, I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. There's some weird coloring choices, and there's some weird there's some weird cuts, and there's some weird there's just some weird choices in this movie overall. But overall, it's still a decent vibe. It's not, it's a little paint by numbers, but it's pretty decent.
Yeah, and definitely. Well, Mitch and I recently watched this together, which was fun. But gay. Gay day. In addition to those things, it also is not a very long movie, but it felt it did feel really long. It's what,
maybe hour 40? It's pushing an hour 40 tops, but it felt like two plus.
Yeah, which was weird. Definitely lulls for a bit, but you know, I don't think I saw this until my dad bought it before the Oscars that year, because like this is when I didn't really have access to like just go and see these things because nobody wanted to because I was still in high school. Yeah, I don't think I watched it until it came out and my dad bought it on like Amazon or something, and I was like, whoa, this is quite fascinating.
Epic chungus.
And at the time, oh my god, epic jazz. But I think at that time I was pretty into music, like like I was trying to absorb every possible like facet of music, and jazz was kind of a thing that I had always liked. I was in jazz band in junior high. I played the trumpet for 4 years. Like, I love jazz, and like percussion and drumming was something I always wanted to do, but was told I couldn't do when I was auditioning for band in sixth grade, which was super fun for me. And get this, the guy, this is such a side tangent, but this might be fascinating for somebody out there. The instructor for my sixth grade band class was associated to the Jacob Wetterling case, which is a very, like, lord about missing child case, high profile, not lord, I should say, case that happened in Minnesota. And like, what the fuck? Like, how did that happen?
I don't even know what that is about. What is the Jacob Wetterling?
Oh, wow.
Well,
really?
I feel like you probably talked about it, and I've clearly forgotten, but no, I don't remember.
Oh, well, I didn't know we were a true crime podcast. But I mean, it is a really unfortunate story, but there's a few like podcasts and I think some like small scale documentaries, but Jacob Wetterling, he is from St. Joseph, Minnesota, and he was kidnapped and then murdered. And his abduction was a mystery for like 27 years. It happened in 89. And it was just like recently semi kind of solved. But yeah, a really unfortunate story for sure. He was, again, 11. And it like shook Minnesota like pretty hardcore. Like this 89 is definitely like, okay, well, the 80s were kind of freewheeling, like, okay, kids, go outside and come back when, like, the streetlights come on, like, that whole thing. And, like, that all kind of started to dissipate towards the 90s, and definitely that's, like, not a thing now. So I think this kind of was a big thing that kind of shifted that, apart from many other really unfortunate cases like this that are solved and still unsolved. But long tangent for a movie about jazz. May he rest in peace, though. But to get sort of back on the main track there, yeah, I mean, Whiplash, I really enjoyed it. I liked it because of the coloring, but the most recent time that we just watched it, the coloring was fucking whack. Like, I've never seen, like, I didn't know, like, the color amber could, like, be used in film like like this. And you can definitely tell that he's like trying to capture like something Finchery.
Yeah, it's definitely like one of those things where I'm like, oh my god, either the cinematographer didn't know what he was doing or the colorist really fucked up in the edit. Just because,
yeah,
it's just not, it, some of those scenes are just not pretty to look at. Some of those scenes, no. I'm like, damn, this isn't anything how anything is lit ever. And not that anything ever always has to be realist, but I'm just like, this just doesn't look right. This looks like someone messed up. And yeah, I mean, I think my other qualm with the movie on the rewatch was it was probably like a little bit of Teller's performance and a little bit, not so much JK's, because that's pretty solid. But I was like, oh, why didn't Teller get the nom? And now I'm like, I get it. Now I'm like, oh, I see why I did. Yeah. Other than that, I still pretty enjoyed it. I'd give it a solid like 7. I think I gave it a 9 when I first saw it, but solid 7 now. I think it's a good movie. It's not by any means the best movie or perfect or great, but you know, it's a pretty good movie. It's pretty okay.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. For sure. I also. I'm looking back on the Oscars to kind of remember like what other things were out at that time. That was JK's year. He got Best Supporting, right? Yeah. Best Picture was Birdman that year, which I do remember. And Eddie Redmayne won
Best Actor for The Theory of Everything.
Oh yeah.
Over Michael Keats.
Yeah, and Boyhood was out then, and wow. Foxcatcher, Imitation Game, Grand Budapest. Oh, Foxcatcher is good.
Except my friends fell asleep during that movie.
Everybody's favorite American Sniper. Oh,
I almost walked out. I almost walked out of that movie.
Was it before or after you saw the fake baby that they were using?
It was like after. I was just like, I hate this movie. I just want it to end. And then there was like that post credit scene. I was like, I don't care. I was ready to get up and leave. But I had friends there, and they were like, no, miss, sit back down.
I bet they were so. Oh, yeah. So
no, we saw it because it was a war movie. I was like, guys, I don't want to see this movie. I don't care about this.
Limo. This was kind of a good year. Yeah. Kind of. Not the best. I mean, but, like, Birdman is still one of my favorite movies. We have Eddie Redmayne winning
for Theory of Everything. So it's not that great of a year.
True. I take it. That is. Yeah, considering the rest of the folks that are, like, up for this. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is also Gone Girl, but it didn't, like, do anything.
Nope. I think it got nominated for, like, Best Supporting Actress and Best Screenplay. And I think that...
It got... Yeah, Best Actress for Rosamund Pike. I think that was it. Yeah. Damn. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I definitely think Whiplash is a kind of... Watching it now in 2021, it's kind of a very timely film in some ways. Because, you know... Terrence Fletcher, J.K. Simmons' character is a very real person. Like, the anger and the use of, like, harm that he inflicts on Andrew is, like, something that has very much so happened. Maybe to this extent to some folks. But, like, what ends up sort of happening as, like, kind of the rising action. Maybe this is the climax. But, like, you find out that one of his previous students died because he killed himself over Terrence, like, over his actions towards him. And then Andrew finds this out, and then, you know, they ask him to kind of, like, follow up on it, like, legally, and then Terrence is no longer at the conservatory that Andrew was also... because he got in an accident and, like, embarrassed Fletcher and, like, all these things, whatever. So then, like, I don't know how he just kind of, like, gets canceled and then, like, still inflicts harm on Andrew to, like, get his revenge is really interesting, because it is definitely something that, you know, has played out. Like, it's no longer just something that you're seeing in a film to that extent. Like, that is a very real thing, and I feel like between 2014 when I saw this. Now I obviously know that is real many times over, but I don't think I necessarily like put that all together in some way. But I also likened or compared this movie to Phantom Thread because they're addicted to hurting each other in both of these movies. And Mitch was kind of like, okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I see that comparison, but I think it's for like vastly different reasons.
And that's fair. But we're not here to, you know, compare those two movies because that would be a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely on the precipice of exploring toxicity in a relationship, and
it's not on the precipice. It literally is that. Hello? Google, show me this guy's balls.
Google, show me this guy's balls when I see JK. Google, show me this guy's balls.
You just gotta look at him. His head probably looks like his balls.
Probably true. Probably a fair assessment.
I can say that. He's a man. I can degrade men.
I can say that. He is a man.
I can say that. What else do you have to say about Whiplash?
Not too much anymore. I mean, I think it's, like, interesting that that's the... I think it's interesting people poured a ton of money into that movie. Just based off of Damien Chazelle's, like, one short. Obviously, he probably made more than that, but I don't know. Yeah. It just is interesting that, like, I don't know, you get a Harvard grad one-off short, and then it's like, you want to make a feature? Yeah, I don't know. Damien Chazelle's whole career trajectory is interesting. And obviously I know you get you make what you get paid to do. But it's also just like, I don't know. He's like a very like bland kind of like basic director, but people like it. I don't know. Whiplash isn't bad. I don't necessarily think of it like too often now. There wasn't even like a feeling in me that was like, I need to rewatch this. And I don't know. I don't feel a whole lot about it. Like, I don't feel a whole lot about it even negatively. It's like, and Damien Chazelle's here. I think the bigger problem I have is La La Land. But no, it's, you know, it's just, it's here. It's okay. It's good. If it was on TV, I would probably flip the channel, but.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
See if there was something more interesting.
Yeah. I think the only other things that I really have to add to this is that I do think the performances are pretty good. I do think Miles Teller does a really good job.
Yeah. I'd agree.
I also think it is weird to see him pre-Chris Pratt syndrome of, you know, being like a lanky, funny, nerdy type character and then getting buff and then becoming a patriot. Like, it's fucking weird. Yeah. But it happens a lot. Like, I like Miles Teller like this, not like how he is now.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Maybe he'll get it back, but I don't think he will, unfortunately, because he, again,
well, it's like he was supposed to play Mr. Patriot. He was supposed to play Dan Aykroyd in like a biopic with Emile Hirsch. That's right. And Ellen Page is like,
fuck.
And now it's like we're probably never gonna get that.
Yeah. God.
Emile Hirsch is Belushi, which is a weird casting choice, but I guess.
I could see that, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah.
Who was Elliot Page supposed to play?
Ellen Page. Oh, Elliot.
It's
Elliot. Yeah, Elliot Page. Might be. Elliot Page was supposed to play, I think, Glenda?
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I guess I could see that. But also, I feel like Emma Stone in a now feature would be a good... Well, she did Rosanna Diana anyway. So, like...
I have to apologize to Elliot. I am very sorry for misgendering you and using your dead name. So I do apologize. I want to just throw that out there.
I'm sure he would probably forgive you.
I know. I just want to say it so I know to not do it next time.
Yeah. Word.
Word to the bird.
The word to the bird. But yeah, the music is also fucking good in Whiplash. If you like jazz, this is the movie for you. And kind of, you might, folks that like really like jazz might really not like this movie. But you know, I will meet you in a dark jazz club after COVID, and I will personally buy you a scotch, and I will sit there and look at you in the eye while you drink it, just to make you feel less alone, which is why you like jazz in the first place. But we are then, well, I mean, we kind of, I don't know whose idea this necessarily was, but I think Mitch watched Sound of Metal, and then he was like, you gotta watch it. And then I was like, oh, haha, drumming movie, Whiplash. And so here we are today.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in.
Sound of Metal was just so good. It made me cry.
Tell the people what it's about.
Okay, so basically it's about a heavy metal drummer played by Riz Ahmed. I don't really remember his name, but that's not really important. and Olivia Cooke are in a metal band and they're touring. And he starts to, I don't really know what you call it. It's when you start hearing ringing constantly in your ears.
Tinnitus. I know all about this because I got hearing problems. So this movie was hella stressful and kind of scary, but it was still really good. But go on.
Yeah. So he starts feeling tinnitus and all of a sudden like cannot hear anything at all. Like everything's like a blown out speaker. Essentially, he can like barely hear, and so it keeps going on. He kind of keeps ignoring it for a little bit until he like completely like loses his hearing. And the kicker of it all, I think the part that really like unfortunately like sold it for me, but also was like something that I was like, oh damn, is that he's sober, and it's like he's been sober for like about 5 years, and I was just like, well. And the relationship between the two people. Just the intense emotionality.
With Lou. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. It is a beautifully heart-wrenching piece of cinema.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think about this movie a lot.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. In some ways that it reminds me a little bit of, I think I'm just kind of drawing this conclusion because it, in some, like, I think it's just like the characterization and the design of the characters. But like, I got like Green Room vibes because I also think like the use of heavy metal and punk rock in cinema is very isolated to how it's depicted in both of these films in some ways. But like both of those movies evoke very strong emotions in me. And like, it's hard for me to sit down and watch new movies nowadays. And I like put this one off. And when I watched it, I was just in it. Like, I didn't think of anything else. Like, I was fully in it. And I think, like, Riz Ahmed is so good in this movie.
Yeah.
So good.
So good.
And, like, sure, it's not an entirely perfect movie by any means, but, like, it is definitely one of the best movies that I saw in 2020.
Yeah. It's a little slow in the last act.
Yeah.
A little slow in the last act.
It drags.
It drags a little bit.
But, like, I was definitely, like, happy at the end, but also fucking hurt.
Also, his, like, sponsor or his mentor. Oh, that one scene. Just, I'm afraid I'm gonna have to ask you to leave.
Yeah, that was so sad. Yeah, I mean, Riz Ahmed, who plays Ruben, is played opposite Olivia Cooke, who plays Lou, and I don't really like Olivia Cooke very much.
What else is she being in that you don't like her from?
I didn't like her in Ready Player One.
Google, show me this guy's ball.
Oh my god. But yeah, she's just not really my cup of tea.
Yeah, she's not great in Ready Player One's a questionable movie in general, but She's definitely not great in Ready Player One.
She gives me... the vibes that she gives me is the people that I did musical theater with in high school that, like, kind of never got out of that theater phase.
Oh, yeah, you auditioned? Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, what song did you use? I did that last year. They didn't like that. You should try this. But that's not in my range. Yeah, but you should try it anyway. Okay, Brianna, like... God, speaking of Brianna, I saw a tweet earlier that was like, bitches dip one strawberry in chocolate and they open Brianna's Bakery.
Oh my God.
And I was like, true.
We're like, their bitches, their boyfriend says they can draw a star at an Etsy store.
Bitches get access to Canva. They think they're an artist.
Bitches edit themselves a TikTok, call themselves a filmmaker.
Bitches get themselves a Finsta, call them a poet.
She learned, wait, what is it? What is that one program called that it's just like you can make Instagram templates?
Oh. Visco?
Girls get on Visco once. Like they're a web designer!
Wait, that's me with Wix.com, though. And no, that was me in junior high trying to customize my Tumblr page. Ooh. I know HTML.
I'm a coder.
HTML stands for hit that motherfucking L.
Like button.
True, that too. But,
bitches use Facetune once, call themselves a photo editor.
No, bitches use Facetune once, call themselves a plastic surgeon. Khloe Kardashian, I'm looking at you.
Bitches pay for photos once, call themselves a model.
That's a little too real. That one is good. That one is very, very good. Fuck, you got me. Damn.
That's a good one.
Bitches think they can fix this white man, call themselves a Ghostbuster. Oh! You kind of got to think about that one, but I like it.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Damn. Wait, have you seen, sorry, we are going, this is completely tangent filled, but have you seen those TikToks where it's like, coochie cold, coochie freezing, and then somebody goes like, and then they try to rhyme? Have you seen those?
No.
Oh, I'll have to send you some later, but those are so funny. Coochie cold, coochie freezing. Coochie hot, what rhymes with freezing?
Anyway. Coochie hot, coochie cold, coochie freezing. You know it's just the thing that's the seasoning.
No, that's not what the trend is, but thank you for playing anyway. I'll send it to you later. Damn it, I wish I could remember one. I'll think of it.
Okay, I'm trying to oh wait, I got one more.
No, now we're not even on the topic.
We'll go back to it. I'll stop after this last one, but bitches sell one item on Depop, call themselves a vintage clothing store.
Oh my god. Wait. Bitches iron on one patch, call themselves a fashion designer. That's real.
That is real. I mean, I think all those are real to some extent.
Bitches buy roller skates.
Bitches date.
Bitches date. That's all I have to say.
Bitches date one POC, call themselves an activist.
Happy Black History Month. I'm dating you.
Bitches date one LGBTQIA, call themselves an ally.
Well, actually, that one works. That one's loaded because...
Yeah, that one kind of works. It's like he
can... Yeah, but also, like, folks that, like, maybe don't identify within the community, but then, like, do date somebody in the community that maybe is trans or non-binary would then, in some theory, would inherently make the partner that was, like, straight also a member of the community, too.
Yeah.
Depending on conversation. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
I do this for a living, people.
Let's see. Bitches throw together a bunch of Apple loops, call themselves a producer.
Oh my god.
This one's fire, y'all.
Wait, I got it.
What?
I figured out the coochie thing. That sounds like me when I had E. coli. But the trend is coochie got a coat, coochie chili. Coochie watching movies, coochie free willy. Do you see where I'm going with this?
I think so.
It's just like stuff like that, and I'm obsessed with it. I think it's so funny. And you know what? I am obsessed with it.
Hey, you know what? I am obsessed with it.
One of the other, this just came back to me.
I know, another sound came back to me, but then I forgot it.
This also comes from one of my favorite podcasts, Las Culturistas. They've been quoting it a lot because they've been talking about Wendy Williams because she has, you know, that biopic and the documentary out about herself. But she goes, she's hosting and she's, whatever, she's like, can I get a clap or like, can I get some applause? And then the producers like flash to the audience. It's a Halloween episode. The producers flash to the audience and there's a person in a zombie mask. And she goes, oh, what was that?
What was that?
And she goes, oh, all right. Like very scared. I quote that one a lot. What was that?
What was that?
Google, show me this guy's balls.
Google, show me this guy's balls.
You get so aggressive.
That's because it is aggressive. It's like, Google, show me this guy's balls.
Aw, she passed away? Aw. All right.
All right.
Wait, I'm going to play this for you really quick.
Wendy Williams has a lot of, like, singular clips. Oh, I also... The new edit of that Star Wars scene. Are you trying to fuck me? Yes, I would like that very much.
Yes. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Have you not seen that one? Where it's like,
no.
It's like Christopher Columbus looking at a manatee.
Oh my god, I didn't know that was Star Wars.
Yeah, it's the Emperor talking to him. You would, except he's like, you would like to kill me. Very much so I would.
Very much so I would. Let me play you this thing really quick.
That's what she said. And you know what? What was that? Okay.
What was that?
What was that?
Okay. God. Well, okay. This is another complete... I'm so sorry to people that actually wanted a very rigorous discussion around these two movies, but... I think that I like TikTok so much just because I can quote them. It's not because of Vine. It's because I grew up with the short form YouTube videos like Shoes and Muffins by Kyle Sullivan. And like I could quote those like right away and people would know what I'm talking about. I like that connection and like things like that. And I think then that moved on to Vine. And I liked Vine, but like not as much as I like TikTok for some reason. Well, and I think it's just because of where I'm at and in my old age, as well as just like where we are all at.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, if I were to like look back at my Vine history, like my like ratio, which I don't even know. I mean, I guess you could potentially like log onto your account online and see, and see if you can find your old stuff. But I remember Vine being a ton of trash.
Mm-hmm.
And even looking back on it being a ton of trash. I think the thing that was good about Vine at the time is that people, the specific moment it was in, but also the fact that you could find weirder stuff and more niche stuff.
Yeah.
And it kind of never achieved actively what TikTok is doing, I think, now. But even TikTok struggles with this sometimes, where it's like, I don't get just like a random video that I would never fucking watch. Just pop up on my For You page. Vine did do that. Sometimes it just like would show you like King Bach or like Logan Paul and Jake Paul Not to say I didn't like those videos at that time either, because I'm not gonna just like pretend here and sit here. I was like, yeah, you know, I only watch Cody Ko, fucking Noel Miller, and it's like, no, I remember watching Jake Paul and like King Bach and all those people.
Yeah, yeah.
But and Lele Pons even too.
Oh god.
But it's like, I think it was just such a new form of medium, because I remember even Snapchat was trying to get on like temporary like timeline stories. They made a whole movie on like a Snapchat story around that time with Eli Roth and a few other things that like were going on. But it was just like the social media plug-in to short form content on a very accessible large basis that you didn't have to like, unlike YouTube, you don't have to actively search for it. It's just there for you.
That's really interesting to think about.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Much to think about. I want to get back to Sound of Metal, though. I have some more things to say.
I do, too. So where did we leave off?
I don't remember, but I know one of the things that I really wanted to, like, talk about was accessibility around this movie, as well as, like, the depiction of the deaf community, too, just because I am not a member of the deaf community. But I do have the privileges of education to know issues that concern the deaf community and hard of hearing folks too. And I know for sure, like, excuse me. Talking. I know, like, one of the things that this movie, Riz Ahmed is not hard of hearing, nor is he deaf. For some advocates, I believe that was probably something that was talked about and probably was looked down upon from this movie. But I do think it is important to note that they did hire a lot of individuals from the deaf and hard of hearing community, and they also supplemented captions. Like, in theaters, from what I read about this movie, is captions were, like, in the movie. Like, it was not special requested. Like, captions were just on the entire movie, so you have the option to turn off captions when you are streaming it at home, but captions in the movie is how it's meant to be watched. And this movie really did inspire me, not inspire me because that is not the correct word, it encouraged me to want to learn more around American Sign Language, and I definitely like have been curious and want to learn and engage more. And this like really was like, oh shit, like it can honestly happen to anybody. Like, it's not just folks in the music scene. Like, tinnitus and like the effects of where that can then lead and stem to is like a very real thing, and that's something that like my dad is hard of hearing and uses hearing aids, and like I'm also hard of hearing, and I'm like always like, oh shit, am I gonna have to have hearing aids that connect to Bluetooth? So like when I use text to text my daughters and I say period, it says period, and they're gonna think that I'm really into pop culture and on TikTok. Like, I don't want that to be me, because that's my dad, you know.
Yeah, I get that. I think if we're talking about representation, which I will not say I'm as well versed in this community nor in the overall representation of the deaf community or hard of hearing community, I was like, this is a very accessible film for those who have had a glance of ASL or are on the fringes of like knowing about communities like this, but haven't ever really seen a community lively lived or personified on film, and let alone in their own life.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, it seemed like a good depiction. Accurate, I can't speak to that. Good depiction, it seemed like that.
Right. Yeah. And like in terms of comparing it to Whiplash and Sound of Metal, definitely trauma is the crucial element apart from playing the fucking drums. Riz Ahmed did spend 6 months learning how to drum for this film, whereas Miles Teller already kind of knew and then expanded on that. But I think I personally enjoy when actors learn what they are doing. And I think that's also a sign of like care too in some ways. Not all the time, but no. In most cases.
As a director, I think it's a sign of care when your actor cares about what you're learning and you're doing. Yeah.
So that I think that element is really cool. But again, I definitely think the apart from, you know, the music element and both concerning drums, I definitely think trauma and like the view that we can get of ourselves when we go through trauma and how distorted that can be and how even more traumatic that can be. Like impacted trauma is definitely very real, and the lot like the ebbs and flows in both these movies that go through like losses and gains and losses and gains,
yeah,
is something that, you know, movies can depict, but I definitely think like it's very clear, like, that's kind of what's happening in both of these movies.
I also think the obsession with another person. I mean, this man goes so far to like, get back to what his, like, old life in Sound of Metal, or whatever that is, just to be able to, like, actively accept that he might be able to be a part of his girlfriend's life. And then when he does that, what ends up happening is just, like, a complete and utter realization that no matter what he does, no matter who, what he does, or like how he's going to do it, his life is never going to be the same.
Yeah.
And I think the overall general acceptance of that and the understanding achieved at the end is really, really powerful. Unlike Whiplash, which ends on kind of this like basing into like that toxicity.
Yeah. It helps just fed back into
helps, it. Helps achieve that ultimate greatness status.
Yeah, I feel like in Whiplash, the cycle of trauma just repeats, whereas Sound of Metal, the cycle of trauma is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And it moves toward some form of acceptance, which is a lifelong thing, especially when an impactful event like that happens after you've had access to hearing for more than half your life, or however old Ruben Riz's character is supposed to be. Yeah.
And I think the most powerful thing, difference between Whiplash and Sound of Metal in a lot of ways, since we're essentially both talking about two Oscar, one is pre, but one is post Oscar noms.
Do you think Riz will get nominated?
Yeah, I think he will. I mean, what else is there?
Well, then
Mank.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Mank.
But go on.
No, I mean, I just think the relationships in this movie, Sound of Metal, are so much stronger than the pseudo relationships we get in Whiplash. I mean, there is this idea of that we have this relationship with the father, and Damien Chazelle even goes as far as to give the father a quirk. Oh, he likes raisinettes in his popcorn, and they go to the movies every week together. Oh, that's so so cute and cutesy. But I think as much as like actions in film do display a level of deepness in a relationship, I think film is also about what is said and what is not said, and just the interaction actively between people, not just the inactive details happening within the film. And I think Whiplash doesn't do a great deal with that, with for even Teller's and JK's relationship. I don't think there's like a large relationship even outside of that where Fletcher is even being like somewhat endearing and playing into the mold. It's more of just like, why is this guy putting up with this? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I get he wants to be like the best jazz drummer, but it's like, what is he really even getting out of this at this point? And in Sound of Metal, it's like you watch Riz go through this whole acceptance where he's like finally almost come to terms with everything that has happened in his life. And then he sees part of his past life interact with him, and he just can't stand it, and he completely becomes obsessive, and to the point of like self-destruction, of like selling everything he has and doing what his mentor even says is kind of addict behavior, and he can't justify with him staying here anymore. To a literal horrible, horrifying realization that these cochlear implants are not going to give him the peace that he so readily desired.
Right. That's a really good point, because when watching the movie, I knew that the implants didn't cure you to have to like get back to 100% hearing capability. Like, I knew that element, but like I did not know the actual experience or like what that would look like. And I think this again opened my eyes in many ways to, and I don't want to necessarily make this about me, but like it definitely did open my eyes to like the realization that like my dad could potentially at some point maybe look into that, and like what that would look like, because hearing aids sure amplify and like do help, but like that's not necessarily like what might need to happen with him down the line. So like I was like, oh wow, like that's like trauma on trauma on trauma.
Well, yeah, you essentially just mortgaged your life right. for something that and literally doesn't even feel any different than what it was before, and almost maybe to a certain extent is horribly worse.
It's worse. Yeah. And I think the same way that like he didn't know that necessarily is also the same thing that the audience went through. I know I went through that.
Oh yeah.
And so I think it lended more insight into that experience, mm-hmm. even more so, which I think is really important. I'd be really curious to kind of know what the consulting process looks like, because I'm sure, I would hope rather, that like the crew and writers and folks like worked at, and it seems as though that they did work actively with the deaf and hard of hearing community, but I'd want to know like more about what that process looks like, just, you know, me wanting to always know more about accessibility. And I think this, I hope this really kind of feeds into a larger movement around depiction of ability in film, but I also know that that is not real, that will not happen.
Well, did you hear I hear Sia's coming out with a really good, really good movie.
I'm going to hang up.
Yeah.
No, God, I mean, that's so awful.
It just happens left and right still. I mean,
it does, unfortunately.
Very rarely do you get a movie where it's like, this seems like good. We'll see how it ages, but this seems good, you know?
Yeah. And that is very real to like not know. Now, you know, and then to watch it again down the road and be like, oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think it's the difference between stuff that not necessarily stands the test of time but can be pointed at as very periody but also very still somewhat relevant.
Yeah. That's real. Mm-hmm. I think it's been, I don't know, maybe a month and a half since I watched Sound of Metal. And I think replaying it back in my head, I know. I remember it very vividly. I don't know if I'll give this another watch in the recent upcoming months. But I definitely know that I'd give this movie, I think, a solid 8.5. 8-ish.
Yeah, I gave it a 9 because it made me cry a lot.
It definitely did make me tear up, and I really wasn't expecting that, because again,
I mean, I think
it's hard for me to do that. But
wait for me, Lou. Wait.
Yeah,
for me. I was like
the emotional intensity that like you feel through Rizzo Med is like kind of next level.
Also, just like the camera work in that specific scene too.
Yeah, the camera work is really good in this. It adds to it. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that was like, that was it for me. And I think just watching the whole, I was just like very much overtaken with it, which I don't know if it like, that happens to you a lot anymore, where it's like, I don't know.
Where I'm overwhelmed by a movie experience.
Very much in it. You're just like there.
Oh yeah, I was in it. Like, I think like the the next 30 minutes after that movie, I kind of did just, like, need to fill time with, like, happy things. I was very much so like, okay, wow. But
did you watch that with your ghostly buddy?
Yeah, the Wonder Boy himself. But I think I do really recommend this movie if you haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet.
Uh-huh. I would as well. And it's on the evilest platform, but
yeah.
Yeah, and it's probably just being used as a tax write-off, but it is on Amazon. Oh, it is on Amazon.
God, that's, yeah. yeah, I think in conclusion, Whiplash and Sound of Metal, I both heavily enjoy both of these things still. I'm more critical of Whiplash now, and I might be down the road with Sound of Metal, depending, but I don't think I will. I think this will really stand the test of time in some ways, and maybe in other ways it won't, but I definitely do think that it is just interesting to see two really emotionally driven movies centered around music and the loss of music in this way, and how connection to expression like this is like pretty inherently human. And I think now more than ever, with COVID at a very scary point in some ways, but also there's some hope, but also like, is there really hope? I think
they always say after COVID. This after COVID starting to sound like Mass Effect 4.
I don't get that reference.
Half-Life 3.
I don't get that reference.
Sounds like well, the Matrix
keep
4
thinking.
The Matrix 4 is actually happening, so
yeah. I was gonna say you can't say that because that's real.
This after COVID is starting to sound a lot like Gremlins 3.
I do get that one, but like also that's still like the worst. Like there's so many better examples to say what you're trying to say.
There's this. Oh man.
They say there's an.
This,
after
they say COVID. This sound. They say after Malcolm X.
What?
I was gonna say they keep
sit in silence. Think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I was gonna say that I think now more than ever, the lack of access to be able to express that way and to feel that connection to certain things that we once used to enjoy is very real. And definitely when watching both these things, I was like, damn, I do miss like going to concerts. I do miss seeing music live. I do miss connecting with people in that way and so on. I also think
what was the last show you like, saw?
I mean, the last time I was in like a theater, I saw a, dance performance piece at the Walker in January of 2020.
All right, gay.
Whatever. It was a very special time for me.
Yeah. I think I saw Danny Brown or Brockhampton last.
Damn. But, I mean, again, I think just also the way that we mentioned earlier, how it ebbs and flows in losses and gains is also a very real thing to feel right now. And I think seeing other people struggle with that in different ways that don't involve COVID kind of hits me harder in some ways. But yeah, just if you have time to watch them both, hey, watch them, but definitely make time for Sound of Metal for sure.
Yeah, I also don't know where you can find Whiplash to watch right now, besides if you own it, so.
1, 2, 3 Movies, sponsor us.
1, 2, 3, come on, you feel me. 1, 2, 3, come on, you feel me.
Any final words for you, Mitchell?
Mank better not win an Oscar.
It probably will.
I love Manked, but it does not
Manked.
Love Manked.
Like it's an action.
I love getting Manked.
Punked, but Manked.
You're about to get Manked.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, Ron.
Do you even know what that's from?
Yeah.
What is it from?
Jersey Shore.
Okay, thank god. About to be very concerned.
What do you mean? I never watched the Jersey Shore growing up, though.
You didn't?
No.
Gabsy.
No, I never watched that growing up. Can be 100% honest on that. Never saw it.
Damn.
Yeah, no, I think going into award season, I don't really care about award season at all. I just hope it's not just like, well, that's what it is going to be, though. It's not going to just be the streaming services that release their movie and whatever the most watched is the thing that's going to be the thing that wins the awards.
Mm.
And it seems as if that's what is going to happen more and more as you see the nominations kind of pour in and you see the... Which is weird because even those people get access to those films. So it's even almost more weirder that, I don't know, they're choosing to nominate Jared Leto and Gary Oldman for Mank. It's like, I don't know. It's just, it seems strange to me that there are other good performances that are kind of, not necessarily going unnoticed, but are just like, not being nominated for reasons because they're not white performances.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess we've been known, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't give a shit about awards, but. Yeah. But I do.
It's fun. It's like, you know, just fun to think about.
Yeah.
Well, right.
Well, TTYL, my. Oh, wait, were you about to say something?
Yes. Yes, I was. I was going to ask if you wanted to play a round of connecting Miles Teller to people.
Yeah!
Okay. I feel like this one is going to be somewhat easy for
Bill,
you.
Bill Nye, the science guy.
All right. The people I had in my head are in the same movie. So, like, hang on one second. Google, show me this guy's balls. Okay, this one is pretty easy. Connect George Clooney to Miles Teller.
George Clooney to Miles Teller, huh? It is a little tricky. George Clooney. Oh, okay. So Miles Teller. Wait, so Miles Teller is in Get a Job with Anna Kendrick. Anna Kendrick is up in the air with George Clooney.
Oh, I did not think you were going to go that route. But yep, that is that. I thought you were going to say George Clooney is in The Descendants with Shailene Woodley, and Shailene Woodley is in Spectacular Now with Miles Teller.
I didn't remember that.
All right, now, what's interesting?
I got one.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Bill Nye and Lindsay Lohan.
Which Bill Nye?
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Okay. Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah, this is like one movie away, though.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Amanda Seyfried isn't Mank with Bill Nye. And isn't Mean Girls with Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
That was... All right. Ooh. Wait. Speaking of Lindsay Lohan... Wait, what?
Bill.
This is easier than I thought. You will probably struggle with this. Connect Riz Ahmed to Lindsay Lohan.
Oh.
You might. I don't know.
Why would you do that?
You might. Bless you.
Thank you.
You might get it.
Okay. Riz Ahmed to Lindsay Lohan. Okay, I gotta think about, like, what Riz Ahmed's been in.
If you want a hint, just let me know.
Okay.
There's a few people you can connect to Lindsay Lohan through one movie that Riz Ahmed is in. That then connects to somebody else. It's a two movie connection.
Okay.
Do you need a hint?
Yeah, I do. I do.
The movie that Riz Ahmed is in that then connects to somebody else that connects to a movie that Lindsay Lohan is in is The Sisters Brothers.
Oh, okay. That doesn't really help me. But
I mentioned this movie earlier.
Don't you say you mentioned nothing.
All right.
Oh, okay. Riz Ahmed is in The Sister Brothers with John C. Reilly. John C. Reilly is in Walk Hard with Tim Meadows. Tim Meadows in Mean Girls with Amanda Seyfried. Oh, wait, no, Lindsay Lohan, sorry.
There you go. Dang, that's a good one. That's not the one I was thinking of yet again, but that...
What were you thinking of?
Look at you. Carol Kane is in The Sisters Brothers, and she's also in Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen, ooh, which is what I mentioned earlier with Carol Kane. Man. You don't know who Carol Kane is? No. Ooh.
Canceled.
That's unfortunate.
Canceled.
You are canceled. Carol Kane is like, she's a legend in comedy. She was in Taxi. She was in Man on the Moon because she reprised herself. She was in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. If you'd recognize her.
Oh, I do recognize her. I know who this is.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. She's in Annie Hall and stuff. Yeah. She's an icon.
The icon.
The icon, Carol Kane. Well, all right. Wait, I got one more for you. I feel like this might be easy, though. Maybe not. Wait, what's his name? What's my name?
Oh, no, no.
Well, that was a lot.
Oh, no, no. I could give you one. I guess that's a no.
Go for it.
Okay. All right. This one actually might be. No, that's too hard. I'm gonna have to give me a good one. Okay. Let's do David Lynch.
Bitch.
What?
Okay.
No, actually let's do Jonah Hill to David Lynch. Wait, no, that's
easy.
That is easy, but that's not even a movie.
Wait, what?
Well, if you can do it with a movie, do it.
Are you thinking of the show?
Yeah.
Like Twin Peaks?
Yeah.
Oh, Michael Cera, Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Oh, give me a different one.
All right. Let's do... Trying to think. Let me get the old celebrity bank pulled up.
Oh my god. Just name two random ass people.
I can't think right now. Okay, let's do Natalie Portman to Joaquin Phoenix.
Wait. Weren't they in a movie together?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I don't think so.
This feels easy. Yeah, they're in I'm Still Here together.
It's not a movie, though. That's a documentary.
No, it's not.
I'm Still Here?
That's a movie. Oh, that is a documentary. But that counts.
I mean, I guess. I wasn't really thinking of... You literally use archive footage then. Like...
Then give me a different one.
Oh, fine. Scarlett Johansson to fucking Rooney Mara. No, they're in the same movie together. God damn it.
Give me like Pedro Pascal and somebody super random.
Oh, Pedro Pascal. It's a Jodie Foster.
Oh. Wait.
I'd have to look at Pedro's because it's like, that's the real starter.
This is tricky.
I do know a good jumping off point, I guess. Actually, no, I know the actor and the movie.
So, what I'm thinking is Pedro Pascal is in one of the Kingsman movies.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's a lot of people in those. Yeah. So I'm trying to...
He plays Whiskey Tennessee.
Yes, he does. And he uses a lasso. And he wears a cowboy hat. Jodie Foster.
Oh, Miss you could definitely get it off of that movie, though. You just got to remember who's in that movie. A certain redhead.
What? Redhead. Oh, Julianne Moore?
Mm-hmm.
Julianne Moore and Jodie Foster. You honestly might have stumped me because I feel like I'm coming to a dead end.
You're so close.
Are Jodie Foster and Julianne Moore in a movie?
They might be, but that's not what I'm thinking about.
Wait, Julianne Moore is in fucking with Anthony Hopkins.
Well, fucking isn't a title.
Are you sure? Yeah. I mean, go on a different website.
It's on Showtime.
Yeah, no, I know, but I don't remember the fucking name of the movie.
Oh, come on. It's literally You Look Nice, Clarice.
Is it just straight up Hannibal?
Yeah.
Okay. And then they're in Silence of the Lambs. Okay, got it. Damn, that was embarrassing.
It was a tricky one. There's probably other routes to go too, because there's a lot of actors. There's a lot of actors, yeah. Pedro's just worked with. The other route was, that I was thinking of was If Beale Street Could Talk. Pedro Pascal stars with Brian Tyree Henry, and Brian Tyree Henry is in Hotel Artemis with Jodie Foster.
I just saw that movie for the first time not too long ago.
It's like really okay.
That is a good way of putting it. It is really okay. That compared to Bad Times at El Royale, I don't know which one I like better. I kind of liked El Royale, though.
I didn't like El Royale. El Royale sucked.
It had some redeeming qualities for me.
The movie sucked.
I mean...
The movie was so up its own ass. It's like... Do you remember that movie Vantage Point?
Kind of.
Every movie is just trying to be Snake Eyes. You need to watch Snake Eyes.
Oh my god. No, you're obsessed.
You need to watch
Snake Eyes
and you'll see what I mean. You'll see what I mean.
Fine.
All those movies are just trying to be Snake Eyes.
Not the 2021 version of Snake Eyes either.
Snake Eyes. Stupid. What was the one you had for me? Or are we just going to end it?
We're just going to end it.
All right.
Because I'm embarrassed.
All right, rat bastards. We're clocking out at 100 minutes. Well, actually, no.
We are indeed.
Technically, it's 85, because we're going to edit out the first 15 minutes. Because some of the stuff we said, we'd get canceled for.
No, that's literally not what happened.
Oh, yeah. Matt's just doesn't want to admit they get canceled.
I've been canceled. They said so. Bitch, I've been on.
Bitch, I've been.
And I've been.
Oh, wait a minute. So I'm the rookie?
Anyway.
I am a little bit gay.
What was that? All right. Anyways. Oh, she passed away?
Oh. Oh.
All right. Oh my god. All right, folks. Well, stay frosty.
Stay frosty. It's supposed to be negative 14 this weekend, baby.
Ew. Yeah, if you're in Minnesota, stay warm. Think of your unhoused neighbors. Donate if you can by any means that you can. Also, definitely share resources with people that you come across, because Instagram is just an app and not everybody sees those, baby.
I would almost say the majority of people don't see those.
Yeah.
If you share within your circle of sociality, perhaps your circle of sociality might have already seen this. But hey, who's to say? Do more than watch Judas is the Black Messiah this month.
Yeah, please. And Malcolm and Marie.
And Malcolm and Marie. Please read a book or do some research. White people. Black Lives Matter. Love y'all. See you later, rat bastards. Ooh.